is a mighty God and will love him forever. We'll taste God's heart. Hallelujah.
Oh, my soul.
on one more time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we're thirsty and hungry for you. Lord, we worship you. You're the lifter of my head, oh God, and I will worship you. Hallelujah. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell. So you came.
You came and changed.
You thought I.
You thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside.
You cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was worth.
You thought I was to die for.
So you sacrificed.
So you sacrificed your life.
So I can be.
So I could be free.
So I can
so
be
I
whole.
Could be whole.
So I could tell. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was.
was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
Sing it again. You thought I was to die for. Hallelujah. You're so worthy.
You thought I was to die for.
One more time. You thought I was to die for.
Worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you got a reason to praise Him right now. You got a reason to praise Him. You're worth dying for. He gave His all for you today. People have told you in your past you'll never make anything, you'll never do anything, but Jesus said you're worth it all for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that love. God, thank you for your mercy. Lord, every single day I get up and I say thank you that your mercies are new every single morning. Today, God, we thank you that your presence is in this place. Holy Spirit, our passion is simple. We want to glorify our Father. Lord, last week this place was packed with all the way to the back, Father, cars all the way out the driveway. Father, we intercede for those, God, who made it their once or twice a year experience. Father, we stand in the gap for them right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that the message that was preached last week, God, will not be able to come unstuck from their heart. That Jesus, you, the hound of heaven, will call them, and that this year, Father, the seeds that were planted in their life will come to fruition. Father, we bind the devil who blinds the mind of the unbeliever. Lord, even some were in the room that didn't even believe in you. But Jesus, the message, the gospel will not return void. We thank you that it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, for those, Lord, who are just in that little season, God, they do their little season with you. I pray that you'll shake them at their core. And that, Father, will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And truly have a heart change. God, we love you so much and thank you for the privilege of worshiping you. It is an amazing honor. Love you, Father. I said we love you, Father. We truly love you with all of our heart. God, we thank you for the right to come into the throne of God boldly, to lift our hands without wrath or malice and declare, we love you. Could we sing that hallelujah part one more time? Come on, sing it. Sing the hallelujah. Glory be to God. Come on, church, sing it. Sing it. You're not singing to me. Sing to the Father this morning. Jesus.
I'll give you glory because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed my life. And I will
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the anointing, Holy Spirit. You are in this place. We thank you that you are evident in this place. God, we thank you that some came that need healing in their bodies. Today, Jesus, in your anointing, we declare their body healed in the name of Jesus. Drive out sickness and disease, God. Drive out, oh God, even mental discouragement in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those, Lord, who don't even know you. They can call on your name right now and be changed. Father, we thank you that those that are watching by live stream, no matter where they are in the world, the anointing is penetrating their computer. Father, changing them right where they are. Father, we honor you this morning. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to worship you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I said, amen. Did you all have a Merry Christmas? Did you all have a Merry Jesus-mas? That's my favorite way to say it. Amen? Make sure you go find five or six folks and say, good morning. I had a marvelous Jesus-mas this year.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah. 18 seconds, you're already still sitting. Turn around to somebody and say, good morning. We're doing a lip sync this morning. Please start them over. Thank you. Please restart the announcements. Thank you very much. Six, five, four, three, two.
Still be the same. See who I was, I give him away. Today, today. No longer bound by...
Hey, it's Tabernacle. We have the week of prayer and fasting coming up. It's going to be held January 4th through the 7th and will be held from 7 to 8 p.m. We want to make sure that we are setting the standard, laying a foundation for 2016 for Jesus to make an impact in this region. So make sure that you come out every night. Again, it's going to be January 4th through the 7th from 7 to 8 p.m. Be here and let's pray down heaven.
Is it 10:30?
Yes, you're just in time.
10:30, I just made it.
I know, boy, catch the vision.
I'm here for Catch the Vision.
Not a problem. We want you to come in. We want you to hear the heart of the pastor. It's just amazing the miracles and wonders that occurred on how his Tabernacle Family Church got started. So we'll see you there, Classroom 1 at 10:30 Sunday.
I think there are only two. Praise the Lord. We are excited. How many of you enjoyed last Sunday? Wasn't that good? Praise the Lord. It was a great week. God is so good. We want to thank the Lord for not only all of those that were in the house. We ministered to over 1,400 people were in the building last week during the whole week. So from Friday night to Thursday night, all the different ministries, we ministered to 1,400 different people, unique people, last week. That is the most we've ever ministered to in one week in the same building. Can we hear a great amen for Jesus? Amen. We also want to remind you, a great way to make sure that your guests come back is that you invite them another time. So next Sunday is the very first week of the year. We always unveil the theme for the year. This is the week you want to invite all of the folks that you brought on Christmas service back to church. If we can get them here 3 weeks, can you imagine 3 weeks in 1 month, what could happen to their life? So if you go invite them, how many of you are going to invite your friends that you had last week here this coming Sunday? Come on the very first Sunday of the year. Come on, let's see some hands.
Amen.
Wow, not many. All right, well, we'll try for a few of you. Glory to God. You know, I found, and I just need to say this because it's in my spirit. I can actually see it. I probably need to preach a message on it. You know, there are people that will commit to God this much. And you know what's amazing is there's always going to be a group of people in this community that will only give God this much. Then there's a whole other group of people, they'll give God a little bit more. They'll give God this much. But there's always things in their life they'll never allow Jesus to touch. There'll be a whole group, and you know what? It's amazing, whether it's that group or this group or the next one, we all justify each other. Then there's a whole other group that will sacrifice and give more. They'll yield more of their life to God to this level. And there'll be a smaller group here. The Bible says that broad is the way, but narrow is the way that leads to Christ. There'll be a smaller group here. But you know what's amazing is that they're moving forward. And then there are always just those that are all completely sold out for Christ. And the group here is the smallest. I want you to know what our vision is in every single year. It's not to preach messages, because if I just want to preach a message, I can go on the road again. Our goal is to take you from here, if this is the group you're hanging out with, to bring you to this level. If you're in this level, our vision is to take you to this level. And if you're here, our goal is to get you so you're so sold out that your whole life, the compilation of your life, is all about Jesus. You see, that is the vision of His Tabernacle Family Church. It's not just getting you to come to church. That doesn't mean even the devil goes to church. Our goal is to take you from one level of commitment to Christ to the next. So let me ask you a quick question. If you had to look over your life in 2015, did you grow to the next level of commitment with Christ? Or maybe did you backslide to another level? Every one of us determines the level of God that we have. In fact, every one of us have as much of Jesus as we desire. And I want to challenge you this coming year that you don't really just take yourself, but you take somebody else with you. You see, because the people in that group, we all justify each other, remember? They'll go with you if you go higher. So how high and how close do you want to be to Christ? That is not determined by Jesus. That is determined by you. And that was free. That wasn't even a sermon. Hallelujah. We want to welcome the guests. If you're a new individual here, we want to thank you for being with us. Let's give our guests a hand clap this morning. Yep. We also have somebody special here this morning that we want to pray with. Austin Smith, many of you don't know him, but for those who do, he was just a wee little tot, and a wee little tot was he, when he and his family started coming, and then they moved to Albany, and this is his last Sunday, and then he goes to the Marines. And what's that? Back to the Marines. Can we pray with you? Great, come on up. Hallelujah. Have you already gone through basic and everything? You went through basic, right? Oh, man. How old are you now? I just want you to know that you make my wife and I feel very old. And he said he wanted to be here. They live in Albany, but he wanted to come down. And he's in church this morning. Dude, I'm proud of you. How many Marines in the house? Semper Fi. I know the more over there. How many people served in the armed forces in the house of God? Look at them all. You're not alone, buddy. All right? Let's reach our hands. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that this young man is serving this great country. In God we trust. Lord, they might try to peel it off the dollar bill, but it will still cry from the very blood of the country. Father, we love you. We thank you for this young man. We ask in the name of Jesus that you'll surround and protect him. And Father, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And that God, he'll have a voice in the Marines. Not just a weapon. Not just defending the country, but God, he'll have a voice that will lead many other Marines to you. Father, in those places, it's difficult. Father, I pray for a strength in his inner man that he's never had before. And Lord, instead of, Lord, cuss words flowing out easy, Lord, as it usually is in that environment, and Father, it will be the gospel. Lord, they may mock him, but when they need God, they will always come to him. I thank you, Father, you're going to use him in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we have 8 or 9 young people on the armed forces that are all across the world right now from this house. And we just want to thank God for them. Amen. So today we're going to start doing something a little bit different. We also want to start talking to our TV and also our live stream family, because they are our family. You know, I've tried to guilt them and shame them as much as I could, and it didn't work. So we might as well embrace them. Can I hear an amen? Still encourage you, it's much better in the house than it is on the computer. Can I hear an amen, or am I? So we want to say thank you so much for watching this morning. We want to encourage you. Could we have somebody fix my microphone? It's cutting in and out. And do you want me to switch with my wife? You get the broken one. We'll share. And so we just want to say thank you so much for watching, and we want to welcome our whole family at His Tabernacle Family Church.
Amen. Amen. I love so much when these young people come out and pour their hearts out before the Lord. There is nothing more powerful than watching this young generation. How many of you wish you had started at their age? And look at them. Thank you, Jesus, for them. So in your bulletin, we have announcement in there. Chad and Jade are going to be returning from South Africa. They've finished up their 3 years of Bible college. So Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade will be coming back to serve our young adults. We are going to be investing and pouring into that generation starting January 8th. Is when they're coming home. There's a reception. Everyone's invited. It's in your bulletin. But I believe they'll be starting with Awaken sometime mid-January. So it's going to be a phenomenal year for our young adults to be able to participate with Awaken. As they sang that song, we're finishing out the year 2015. And the Word of God is not going to return void. So all of the messages and all the seed that's been planted in our life, we are whole. We are free. 2015, we're going to finish strong, and we're going to start strong in 2016. We're not discouraged. We're not depressed. The Word of God has been life to us. We are whole. I mean, I couldn't even hardly contain myself when we were singing that song. We are whole and we are free. We are transformed by the powerful Word of God moving in our lives in 2015. And I just want to encourage every single one of you to finish this year strong with your tithes and your offerings. Finish strong. Malachi 3 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be plenty of food in my house. Bring all the tithe, not 20% of the house tithing, but the whole house tithing, so that the vision that God has birthed within our pastor, we can put that into our community and change and transform for the kingdom of God. But it takes all the tithe for there to be plenty in his house. You know, this year you have been so faithful and giving, and we have been able to accomplish so much. We had to build an expansion onto the building, but because of all of your faithfulness and your tithe and giving, we have reached our community to a whole nother level. But there's so much more. God didn't just call us to be a regional church. He called us to change the world. And you know, I was really thinking about it. We have the power to change the world. We reach through live stream and through mission all across the world. You are powerful. And as we enter into 2016, I want to challenge every single family to bring all the tithe into the storehouse and watch the vision that God has put on our pastor's heart come to fruition through our obedience and our tithe and offering. If you have never been a tither, I challenge you, put it to the test in 2016. He says he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't even contain. You can't even contain. So you need to get ready right now. You need to start expanding your thinking. You need to start expanding your faith. Give all of the tithes and offerings so that there will be plenty in my house. So let's stand to our feet. Let's finish strong 2015 with our tithes and offerings and start strong 2016 by bringing all the tithe into the storehouse. We make a supernatural declaration from Deuteronomy 28, and it simply says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring all the tithe into the storehouse. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Because I love.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. You know, I've got some great news for you. We are doing something that we had to do. Let me explain what's going on. As some of you know, Thursday night is family night. Not enough of you come. Turn around and tell somebody, Thursday night's family night. But we're changing it because we've had too much growth. We've had way too much growth. We got ourselves a problem. How many of you know that some problems are good problems? Amen. You know, when a woman is pregnant, she continues to stretch. I remember my wife standing in the mirror and going, I just feel so fat. I said, you have a baby in there. She says, I still feel so fat. There's stretching. Your body stretches. And our body is stretching, which is exciting because that means you're growing. Where there is no stretching, there is no growth. So this is what's happened. Our Thursday night, we're busing in over 200 children every single week, and there's no more room for them. I mean, all the rooms back here are full, the ones we just built. All of the, everything is full. There's just no more room. Now, we have a choice. We can say, well, we're reaching enough people. The rest of them can go to hell. We could care less. So let me say that one more time. We have a choice. We can say we've reached enough people. We're doing more than most churches in reaching the lost. We can just be happy. We're full. Everybody's don't need to do anything more. We're good. We can send the rest of the kids to hell. That's not a good answer. Turn to someone and say, that is not a good answer. And if that is your answer, I pray great conviction upon your spirit. Hallelujah. Our goal is to reach as many people as possible. To share, especially, snatch this generation away from the devil. And so what we're doing is we're taking all children under the age of 12 and we're moving them to a Wednesday night. That means we're feeding them on Wednesday night. We're busing them on Wednesday night. And we're believing for this. We're believing that 11 and under on Wednesday night will grow to over 500 children every single week. How many believe God with us for 500 children? Now, you need to know what that means. That means already we're impacting the local schools. Already we're doing that. I'm believing God with 500, we can not just make an impact, we can make a crater. You ever seen an M80 blow up? Well, you ever seen the atomic bomb? Not, I hope not in person. On the television, that big mushroom, that's what we want to create in the devil's kingdom. We want to create the mushroom. So he knows the kingdom of God is here to stay. He cannot have our children. He cannot have the children of this region. We're going to take back this region for Jesus Christ. And so we're making a switch, moving them all the way to Wednesday. We're doing this when, Josiah? January 27th. And that means we need more workers.
Oh, I knew there was a catch.
There's no catch. It's an opportunity for you. There are, I believe we have, help me, Pastor Dan, how many people work in the kingdom here? About 300 people of the 1,300 work at His Tabernacle Family Church. That's it. The rest just sit and enjoy. Remember, we're not a welfare society. Turn to someone and say, I don't believe in the welfare society. You see, the welfare is good for when it's needed, but it should never remain there. So being a taker isn't the answer. Being a giver is the answer. That's the mind of God. Can I hear an amen? And many of us are just taking, and I'm okay with that. I mean, you're going to come and you're going to take. That's what you're going to do. But our goal is to get you to grow, and you grow by giving. And we're asking you to give your time. How many workers do we need on Tuesday night? I mean, on Wednesday night?
In 30 people all together is really what we need on a Wednesday night.
What would be their responsibility?
They could be bus monitors. They could help actually cook the food and distribute the food with Matthew 25. They would be teachers within the classrooms, actually teaching these children the gospel of Jesus and leading them to salvation, really just extending the heart and the love that Christ has for them. And, you know, one of the really most important things about this that we need to realize is that these children are, the devil is after these children. And when we are serving on a Wednesday or a Thursday night, we are on the front lines of battle. And we're taking back what the devil has stolen. And I love this opportunity that we have for the community. We all do, because we have the opportunity to snatch them back. They're not just some kids that we're ministering to from our area. We can complain about our schools and we can complain about our communities, or we can do something about it and we can change the hearts and the lives of these kids. They then will go and change the community. And they are already changing our school districts. Neighborhoods are being changed. People are coming to those that are riding the buses and saying, thank you so much for everything that you're doing with these kids. Our neighborhood is a better place. The children will lead even their parents to Jesus. So we have the opportunity, but also we've been entrusted. We are responsible because God has entrusted us with the hearts of these children. So we are desperate for people that love children, that love to minister, that love to spread the gospel of Jesus. And we just really need people that are passionate and committed, really, truly committed to these children. We are the only consistency that they see. We are the only Jesus that they see. So I just pray that God touches your heart. If you love kids, that He will really just create a softness inside of you for them, because they will perish if we don't do what we're called to do.
Now with Brenda, she's made it so that if you want to do the teaching aspect, you only have to teach once a month, correct? You'll be teaching once a month, if you want to do teaching, once a month on a Wednesday. So you're not there even every Wednesday. You're only there once a month. She's created a rotation. So
once a month is just not even enough. I'm telling you, once you get started doing this, we are all so addicted to Thursday nights. It is my favorite night of the favorite day of the week. It is not for the faint of heart. Trust me. Trust me. It is one of the most challenging, but the most rewarding thing that you will participate with. So if you like a good challenge and you're not going to back down, then come out and participate with these powerful leaders that refuse to quit on these kids. We need you. So today, before you leave this building, I want you to find one of these three and go out to the hub. I want you to go out to the hub. So do not leave this building today without going out to the hub and saying, my family and I will come and volunteer. Man, your whole family ministers on this night. Your whole family ministers on this night. Your whole family. Let's make it family night. Our families ministering to the families of the community. So don't leave the building today without going to the hub and signing up. Nobody. I'm putting you on the spot. Don't anybody leave the building today without going to the hub and making a commitment to really make a difference. Man, can you imagine? Imagine the change in our community. Sorry.
I deal with that at home, too. This really is the answer. And so, I'm just going to say this because people get mad at me when I say this. I'm just going to say it anyways. If you've come here to sit, wrong church. If you've come here just to suck and to take, this is the wrong church for you. We love you, but you'll be better off down the road because we're going to push you. And we're never going to stop pushing you because we're kingdom people. We're not building a church. We're building God's kingdom. And if you're lazy, this is not the welfare Christian society for you. We love you. It's a great church down the road. We are here to make a difference. And that's what His Tabernacle Family Church has always been known for. I was down in the Harley-Davidson shop yesterday. And the guy said to me, he said, I heard that you guys also do a bike blessing. No, we had mentioned the bike blessing. And he says, no, listen, we had so much fun giving to the kids. The Harley-Davidson shop, they gave over 60 gifts. Over 60 kids gifts to the kids on Thursday nights. A Harley-Davidson shop. Dear Lord, have you ever been in one of those shops? The F-bomb is normal. But yet they have a heart for children. That's what I love about the Harley community. The Harley community really cares about kids. And I just want to encourage you. The Harley community should never outdo the family of God. There's a young lady, and she's, 10 years old? Her and her ma work in the is she 10? In the Matthew 25 ministry. And she's not even sure if she believes in God. And it was amazing because we had a lot of adults stop bringing their children to Thursday nights because of the children we were bringing in. Nothing prejudice or anything. And so we mentioned this to this little girl she got mentioned to about this. And she goes, that's disgusting. And they call themselves Christians. She said, I'm 10 years old. I don't cuss, but I work here every Thursday. She says, I'm the one that I'm not ashamed of what I do. I go and help them. My life isn't worse for being around children who don't know God. And she's one who doesn't even know if she believes in God. So I want to encourage you. You've got to do something. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Wednesday night or Thursday night, we are truly moving ahead to change our region. I am believing God for 500 people on Tuesday nights. That's rock solid faith, and that will be the new ministry called Awaken for our young adults. We're believing the young adults to get into our college ministries in 2016 and to change our colleges in this region. We're also believing on Wednesday to bring in another 500 children under the age of 12. And we're believing also on Thursday night to bring in another 500 young people, teenagers, from our schools to have their lives transformed. That will never happen if the people of God don't put your hand to the plow. Amen? So very rarely do we do this, but I put out, I know I'm babbling, but I put out a few weeks ago, Brenda needed a worker on a Thursday night. We had two people from this house respond. The hair on the back of my head went right up. Because I said only two people will respond to helping in the ministry. You know what that said to me? I'm a failure as a pastor. That's what it said to me. As a pastor, if we cannot motivate the people of God to do the will of God, then I'm a failure and I'm just a church. I'll close down quicker than that. Because I refuse to build a church. I'll only build a kingdom. And so I want to challenge you. This is your week to work. Go out to the hub after service. Sign up. And then make your way right over to catch the vision right after that. Amen? Can we give them a hand clap for all they do? Praise the Lord. We love you. Thank you. I know that was a little heavy, but that's okay. You'll be all right. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. You know, there are times that we all need a little spanking. Yes? There are times we all need a little spanking. And today I just want you to know that you got to work. Amen? You got to work. It's not a sitting church. It's a working church. Glory to God. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is the last time that we're going to pronounce it as the body of Christ at His Tabernacle Family Church as the year of... Well, isn't that crazy? We have already gone through a whole year of the year of the kingdom. I still have 6 months to preach on the year of the kingdom. We've got a problem. So today, this is what I want to do. I want to preach my four favorite sermons. It's only going to take 6 hours. Take my time. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to preach a quick little snippet of four of my favorite sermons for the year. Is that all right? I've never done that before, but there are four of them that changed my life. You see, the year of the kingdom wasn't just about preaching to the people of God. It's about changing my life as well. As your pastor, I'm growing too. As your pastor, if I'm not maturing, then you're not going to mature. As your pastor, God convicts me. God spanks me. God realigns me. You need to realize that this is not just a guy standing up behind the pulpit preaching a gospel. My wife and I were talking yesterday, and it is so humbling to be part of a move of God like we're in right here in Horseheads, New York. Because we don't feel any different than we did when we had 50 people. We literally feel no different. And it's so humbling to know that we're part of. You remember when we were back down the road? Oh my goodness. It is just amazing what the Lord has done. And today, I just want you to know that as your pastor, that I'm being changed too. So let's read it together. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. 1, 2, 3, read. But seek first. Come on, church. Come on, let's read it one more time. One, two, three, read. But seek the kingdom of God and his, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to remind you that there are three kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God that is invisible. We have the kingdom of Satan that is invisible. And we have the kingdom of this earth, which is the visible. It is the visible plan of God. He created the earth to show the will of heaven on a visible plateau and place. So today we're in earth. How many of you know you're not in heaven? Now you might be seated with Christ in heavenly places, but how many of you know today you're not in heaven? You're not there, but yet we're seated there. We're seated in authority, and we're seated in power. But what God's passion is, he said, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He told us to seek the kingdom first, and what I found is that the majority of Christians do not understand what the kingdom of God is. They've joined or become members of a church, members of a denomination, members of a religion, but I'm here to tell you today that God has never called you to be a member. He's called you to be a citizen. Can I hear an amen? So I want to share. I'm going to go through. The very first message that really grasped me was the message on citizenship. Many of us just go to church and we, well, you know, I'm part of this religion, or I go to His Tabernacle Family Church, or, well, I'm Pentecostal, or I'm Baptist, or I'm Catholic, or I've been a member of this church since I was 1.5 years old. I want you to know that God is not into membership. But God's plan has always been that you and I would become citizens, not of a church, but where there is citizenship, there is truly a government. And where there is a government, there must be a king. And where there is a king, there must be a kingdom. So I can remind you, every king must have a kingdom. Every kingdom has a what? Has laws and order. All laws and order are built upon what? The Constitution. And every single, come on now, every single place that is called a kingdom must have citizens. You see, you can have a place that you call yourself king at, but if you have no followers, then really you're not a king of anything. A snail, a lizard, a chameleon. But you're not really a king over anything. What God's passion is that the people of the Lord will recognize who they are in Him. When we know who we are in Christ, then we walk different. We talk different. We address life differently. We walk into God's kingdom with an understanding of who we are in Him and what we can do through Him. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The greatest thing a kingdom can ever give, the greatest thing a place, even America, can ever give, is citizenship. Citizenship is not about, come on now, citizenship is not about a piece of paper. It's about power. You see, a king or a kingdom that gives citizenship to people gives them a level of authority and a power that people who are aliens do not have. This is why those who say they pray and they're not born again are always shocked when I tell them that God doesn't hear their prayers. In fact, they get bent out of shape. But the truth is that they're an alien. They don't have a right to come before the king. As citizens of America, there are certain rights, inalienable rights that we have that those who are foreigners will never be able to participate with. They do not have. Well, why? Because they're not citizens of the United States of America. And as you and I have been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light, we are not members of a church. We do not just come to a church mindset. And this is one of the biggest things that I felt the Holy Ghost trying to tell me to twist this year within the minds of the people, having our minds renewed by the Word of God, is getting our minds out of the church mentality and get us into the kingdom mentality. For the church mentality has brought the body of Christ to a place of demise, a spiraling down, a loss of people, a loss of passion, a loss of vision, where they will go nowhere, but they will slowly subside and slowly disappear. In America, 9,000 churches are closing a year, and the only reason is not that God's kingdom is weak, but that people have joined church rather than joining the kingdom of God.
They've not become citizens. They've become members of a church organization. God wants to change your heart and change your mind. This is one that grabbed a hold of me. Because when you recognize citizenship, when you recognize that this is a legal affair, when you recognize in the eternal that God does not look at this as, wow, yeah, they came to church this week. But God looks at us truly as citizens of his country. We are not from this world. We are from a different world. We cannot get settled and satisfied with what the world has to offer. But we must keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We must stay focused on the purpose and the goal of our life. But yet, when we get wrapped up, we go back into the church mentality. Well, I go to church, I pay my tithe. Well, I'm a nice person. I do some work in this ministry or that. But that doesn't impress God. What impressed God is that your heart is after him and that you've called upon the name of the Lord and that you are saved. When you become a citizen, you have authority and you have power. And God has greatness for his citizens. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 says this, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." I love the fact that you and I are no longer strangers in heaven. You know, as citizens, we have the right to come before his throne boldly. As citizens, we have the right to do amazing things with the power of God dwelling inside of us. The Bible says we can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. The Bible says that we can call those things which are not as though they already are. We have the capability when we pray to reach into the heavenlies and pull out what is invisible to the visible world called earth. You see, as citizens, you are powerful people. As members, you are dismembered. I know people, man, they, as pastors, they'll call me on their phone. They say, "You got one of my members there." And I'll say, "Huh?" I said, "Well, you know, I mean, if they're yours, then you can have them. But last I checked, they got saved. And if they got saved, they're not a member of the church. They're a member of the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom is not in one building, but God's kingdom is all over this earth. Even right now, down in Mexico and Campeche, they are preaching the gospel. They are sharing the faith in the church that we oversee down there with Pastor Luna. It's God moving all over the world. God's spirit is moving and his kingdom is moving forward." You see, when the citizens become too lax and comfortable in the country they don't belong in, then that becomes an issue. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You see, he is jealous for his citizens, not because he is one that sits around and wants to marry at your life, but he has a passion to bless those that are part of his country. You are part of the country of the kingdom of God. You have dual citizenship. Number one, with the kingdom. Number two, while you're on this earth. But we represent as ambassadors, not this earth. We represent the kingdom of God. And when we understand Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "For seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Everything changes when you come to church on a Sunday morning. Everything changes when you put your finances in the plate. Everything changes when you go to work and you do the work of God in whatever ministry you participate. Everything changes because it's no longer, "Well, I'm doing good things for my church. Well, I'm doing good things for my religion. Well, I'm satisfying my own little heart and my own little mind to justify myself." But what you're doing is you're saying, "Actually, I am doing kingdom business. I am living in the kingdom principles. I am doing what my king has requested me. And in that, baby, you cannot fail." Can I hear an amen? The second message that really touched my heart, really just, I mean, it's not that I don't know these things. I mean, I've been studying for so many years. But really grabbed a hold of me was that the word of God is our constitution. As citizens, we have a constitution. And it amazes me, and some of you have asked, well, you know, why I wrote Rock Solid Faith 1 and Rock Solid Faith 2. Over 100,000 words. 3 years it took me to put the compilation together. Why did I do that? There are other books out there. And I said this. I said, because I want to make sure that the people of God have the tools in their hand, that they know the Word of God. I didn't say know about the Word of God. I said know the Word of God. For when you know your constitution, you know your rights. When you know your rights, you have your authority. When you have your authority, you don't live the same way as somebody who's just barely making it by. You see, the constitution, the Word of God, is so powerful, yet the devil works so desperately to keep you out of the scriptures. I said it last week in the message. When Jesus was tempted of the devil for 40 days in the wilderness, what did the devil use? He used the warped, twisted portions of the scripture. He used portions, but not the whole. He used the word to deceive. But Jesus Christ, he rebounded back with the Word of God, both full barrels. Can I hear an amen? Double barrel in the Holy Ghost. And he said, he spoke the Word of God. The Word of God, the Constitution of God, is the rights that we have. And when we live within our rights, when we decree our rights, the King of the nation, the King of his kingdom, will always recognize his Constitution. For it was penned by the Holy Ghost through mankind. And God will back his word. I love the fact that God said not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. I love that we have a constitution and the word of God is true. The constitution being the word of God, because everything is based upon law. Law is the glue that holds the entire universe together. It holds our country together. This is why we sit back when somebody breaks the law and what happens to them. What happens to lawbreakers? They get arrested. How many of you have been arrested? Don't raise your hand. They get arrested and some of them get incarcerated. Why do they get incarcerated? Because they have to pay a penalty for the breaking of the law. You see, the Constitution is godly laws. They are the key to the kingdom. These are the principles that when we invoke them, that God's kingdom is activated in our life. That no matter what weapon is formed against you, the Word of God, the double-edged sword, will pierce the divide. Not only you, but will whoop on the devil. Can I hear an amen? You see, the Word of God declares what God will do in your life. And the laws that are written within them will be your statue, will be your fortitude, will be your structure, will be your sanity. Everything exists by the law and on the law. Everything exists for the law. Everything that was created to function by law. You know, it was amazing. Yesterday, I was sharing with my wife and some friends about, I was reading in the book of Genesis because I was reading about how God said, let there be and there was. How God created everything by seed. And how seed is the principle. Dirt and seed. How many of you know that that's how this whole beast was created? Dirt and seed. Adam and Eve came out of the... Did you realize, too, the birds and the animals came out of the dirt, too? But from the moment of creation, the principle of the seed, the law of God called seed, was then the way that God always worked within mankind. Seed principle. Man, I could go on to all these things, and we're going to be hitting some things next year that I believe will transform your life. Everything that's written in this word is your constitution. And you know, this year when I preached that message, I preached a series of it on citizenship. Once the citizen understands the constitution, then we have a place to stand that many don't. Listen, we have the ability in God's kingdom to not be weak but to be strong. But the majority of Christians are weeping, whining, I'm looking for some more W words. Whimpering.
What's that?
Wallowing. Weary. Willowed. I don't even know if that works, but it sounds really good. When most people talk about Christians, they talk about, yeah, you know, you need a crutch. But you see, when you're a believer, you don't need a crutch. You are the crutch. You are who people will come to because you have the constitution and the answer. You have the power of God to cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If you touch any dead, the thing it shall not harm you. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You're not one who's just barely making it by, but you're a son and daughter of faith. You call those things which are not as though they already are. You stand in the authority and the power of Jesus' name. And any weapon formed against you, it shall not prosper. You see, when you understand their citizenship, when you understand the constitution, you cannot live the same. They might call you arrogant. They might call you full of pride, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, I know who I am, and I know my rights, and my God said that he holds his word above his name, and if I say it, God's activating it in the spirit realm. I can call it, I can touch it, I can declare it, and God will move by it. You are not weak. But you have the authority of the King. The next message that really just really touched my heart was that divine jurisdiction. I love the fact that not only I'm a citizen, not only I know the Constitution, but I have divine jurisdiction. And the jurisdiction that I have is so powerful. Yet most believers don't recognize their authority and their power. And when you don't recognize your authority and power as a believer, then you always live substandard, and you're always one that is going to struggle in your walk with God rather than live in victory. God has not called you to live in bondage. He's called you to live in victory. God has not given you salvation so you could live in defeat. He's given you salvation so you could live above those things that the world will bring. And no matter what comes against you, you will always win. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore on your behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You see, when we see ourselves as Christians, we miss the whole point. I remind you, the term Christian was man-made, not God-made. God never called you once a Christian. He never once called you a Christian. Yet that is the plain and the simple that most people adopt. It's time to adopt who God says we are. God says you're a citizen of heaven. I said, God says you're a citizen of heaven. I said, God says you're a citizen of heaven. He has given us a constitution, and in the constitution now gives us the authority in the name of Jesus to do things that normal people cannot do. You know, I think, where was that when they had the super, it was over at Wayne and Carla's house. We had a little Christmas thing at Wayne and Carla's house. It was really cool because I don't know who got your boys the superhero costumes, but who got the superhero costumes? Who was that? Huh? Graham, my Aunt Queenie. Bought them super costumes, and they had super masks on, and they had their capes on, and they're running around, and their cape is flowing. Shh. I think I saw Nick doing it too, but I wasn't sure. But you know, we look at the superheroes and we say, wow, that is amazing. We say to ourselves, come on now, in our own minds, we say, yeah, we know that's impossible. But you need to recognize you're a superhero on this planet. That God has given through the Constitution that you would work things that are supernatural, not natural. It is above the natural capability, above the natural ability, through the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, through the one who abides within you. As saints and citizens and ambassadors, you don't represent your town, you don't represent this church, but you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love the fact that no matter where I go, I was convicted so bad the other day. We were driving in this Christmas traffic. Jesus, repentance is good for the soul. We're driving down, and all of a sudden, this guy decides, you know, he's just going to skip all the traffic, and he's going to pass everybody on the right. And he got up to me, and he wanted to bub in. And I stuck my head around the corner and went, I don't think so. And my wife said, just let him in. I said, no. How many of you would have done the same thing? Listen, y'all going to be convicted at the same time, so. I held to my rights. And I went down and I parked myself at Dick's Sporting Goods. And the Spirit of God said, what happens if he shows up at church on Sunday? Man. You see, we don't represent the earth. We represent God. When people see us as ambassadors, they see God. When they're sick in their bodies, when we recognize, come on now, we recognize our jurisdiction. Philippians chapter 2. We have jurisdiction in heaven. We have jurisdiction on earth. We have jurisdiction under the earth. When we recognize our authority in the name of Jesus, the devils are subject to us. There's not one devil, even Satan himself, who's not subject to you in the name of Jesus Christ. God said, if you ask anything in my son's name, I will give it to you. Jurisdiction in the heavenlies and on this earth. We have the right and capability to preach the gospel of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. We are the ambassadors of the Most High God. When they see us, they should see Christ. When they see us, then they need something. They should come to us, and we will pray, and God will move in their life. See, the last one was this. Is ownership and access. Wow. How many of you that changed your life? How Adam and Eve, am I doing for time? Wow, I'm doing really good. How Adam and Eve, in the garden, God gave them access to everything in the garden. He said, I'm giving you stewardship of everything in the garden, but this one thing I don't want you to touch. Just one. Thousands and thousands of fruit trees. Thousands and thousands of edible objects. Yet there's one thing I don't want you to touch. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat from that tree. There are things that God has separated in our lives. They're called holy things. Now you see, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you don't understand the holy things of God. In fact, what happened, remember that one time David's trying to bring back the Ark of the Covenant and a man reached up and touched it. And when he touched the Ark to steady it, he dropped dead. Well, why? Because he was trying to do a good thing, but God said, you don't touch the Ark. Only the priests touch the Ark. You see, we've touched things that we do not have the right to touch on this planet. Therefore, what we've done is we've taken ownership instead of living in the principle of access. You see, Adam and Eve, because they grabbed ownership of that tree, because they touched what was holy, they lost all of the access of the Garden of Eden. Everything that they could have had, everything that they could have wanted, they lost their relationship with God. They lost the blessing and the freedom in the finances. They lost the blessing and the freedom in every area of their life. They lost everything. There was complete now living in their life lack. All because they took ownership. Well, this life is my own. The Bible says if your life is your own, then you've lost it already. If you want to save your life, you must. Don't tell me what to do, preacher. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it my way. I have the right to retire. I have the right to relax. I have the right to do whatever I desire to do. Don't tell me how to handle my finances. Don't tell me that I should be going to the house of God. Don't tell me. Listen, the moment you and I decide to live our life rather than live his life, we're going to start living in lack. Well, I know wealthy people that don't have lack. You know what? You might not know them at all. Robin Williams killed himself. He had everything that the natural world would ever say they would need. How many wealthy people have killed themselves? How many wealthy people have gone insane? How many wealthy people live a life of loneliness and despair inside, no matter what kind of house they live in and mansion they have? If you haven't learned quick, money doesn't satisfy. Living living in Christ is the satisfaction. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you recognize that God is your all in all, my life is not my own, I've been bought with a price. When you recognize that if I give him my all, I will have access to everything. But when I take back what I want to control, then I have lack in that arena of life. Some of you have lack in your relationships because you've not loved Jesus first in your relationship. Some of you have lack in your finances because you won't tithe. Some of you have lack in your homes, and we could go through the list of things you have lack in. It comes down to one thing. Who's the owner? You see, because when you say, I love that verse, Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all its people belong to him. When he says the earth is the Lord's, the word Lord there means owner. Do you own your stuff, or does God own your stuff? If God told you to give it away tomorrow, would you give it away tomorrow? If God gave you instructions, would you do it and obey it? If not, you're still the owner, which means you have to live in lack because you've disconnected yourself from God's garden and God's portion. These are the four messages this year that really transformed my life. They really grabbed a hold of me, got in me. The stuff I've been studying, I've listened to some of these CDs and DVDs and read some of these books up to 10, 15 times. Because you can't hear it once and let it stick. You just can't hear a sermon once and say, well, I got that thing. Especially when you're transforming your mind. Especially when you're trying and striving to go from the different levels that you're living in. You've got to hear these words more than once. Listen now, you can get them free online. HisTabernacle.com. Go to the sermon button. They're all on our YouTube. Or you can go down and you can hit the live stream and you can go down to the archives. They're all free online. Or you can buy the CD or you can buy the DVD. But I don't know how you're going to do it. But you've got to allow these words to foster and fester. You've got to allow them to be in your heart and your mind. You've got to have that transforming in your spiritual man. Because if we are to seek first the kingdom of God, yet we don't even have these four, how are we going to live in success? Well, I'm just a simple person. I just want simple things. Listen, we're all simple people. Haven't you gotten that yet? Even the most wise individual in the room is still simple compared to who God is. And God has said, I've got greatness for you. I've got great things for you. Don't sell your life cheap. Allow me to give you my best and to call you who you really are. Not just allowing you to live in survival mode. Aren't you sick of survival mode? Aren't you sick of survival mode? Aren't you sick of just barely making it by? Aren't you sick of just hoping things are going to work out for your life? Aren't you sick of that kind of stuff? God has a plan through his word so that you can actually direct through the Spirit of God where he would have you go. And you can go through mountains, over mountains, under mountains. You can go on the sea, under the sea. And the one thing you'll know for sure, if Jesus says you're going to make it, baby, you're going all the way. Stand to your feet with me this morning. I preached four sermons quicker than I've ever preached one. Someone from the front said, it's true. I love you too. Shout this out loud. I'm not a member. Shout it again. I'm not a member. Shout, I am a citizen of the Most High God. I am part of the kingdom. I am a child of the king. I am a citizen. I am a king. I am a priest. I am a prince. I am a princess. Now, guys, you're not supposed to say that part. So we'll start over. Okay? You know, you got to adopt to where we're going. Shout it out loud. I am a child of the king. Then why are you living like a pauper? am a citizen of heaven, then why are you allowing the sins of this earth to control your life? I am a king. Then why are you sitting outside of the camp rather than living in on the throne of God? I am a priest. Then why aren't you doing priestly responsibilities by being in his word, being in his house, and doing ministry? Shout, I am a prince. Then why are you living like an outsider where no one else knows who you are? You know, if they did a survey at your job, would they know you're a Christian? Where's Pastor Obi? Where's Pastor Obi? I know he's really close because he's Pastor Obi and he's supposed to be close. Hi, Pastor Obi. I don't think you were in the front row. I was looking for you. Come here. How many of you know he's a prince? No, I mean, really, a bona fide prince. Well, no, he's Obi. Familiarity breeds contempt. Well, you know, yeah, he's just a guy that works on staff with the Bible school. No, he's Pastor Obi. He's a nice guy. No, listen. He's an actual bona fide prince in Nigeria. In fact, when he and his wife got married, they had, what do they call themselves? The tribal, the council came, okay. The tribal council came all the way from Africa for their wedding. And then they had to go to Africa to participate with their community where he's a prince. How many of you knew Philip was a prince? Philip, come over here. He's dating my daughter, and I don't care if he's a prince. I'm going to beat the snot out of him if he hurts her. He's a prince, too. I mean, actual bona fide prince. The king is talking now. You see, the fact is that many people might not know who you are, but they need to know who you are. So that when they need an answer for their sin or a situation, they know who to go to. Now, if I need to go to Africa, I know some princes. I'm not going. So, hey, I won't need you. Good. Thank you. Shout, I'm an ambassador! You represent heaven wherever you go. Let's say it read out loud. Shout it out one more time. I am the child of the king. I am a citizen. I am a king. I am a priest. I am a prince. I am a princess. I am an ambassador. I am royalty. And I am a holy nation. That is who you are. And I don't care what anybody says to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and God's kingdom will manifest in your life. What the seeds have been planted for this whole year, I believe that God is going to bring manifest in 2016. Some of you are going to have jobs that you never thought would even be possible. Some of you are going to start businesses that you never thought even possible. Some of you, your relationships are going to be restored and renewed, and God's going to work miracles and signs and wonders in people's bodies and in their minds. God is going to be the God of heaven in this house. For this is not the pastor's church. This is the king's kingdom that we have the right to participate with because we are his family. Bow your heads with me this morning. Close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's the only way to become a citizen. The only way to become a citizen is to ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, to wash your sins away, and to give him ownership of your life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'll put you in a position and posture you for success and blessing and not cursing. Is there anyone here that wants to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Raise your hand right in the air. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. Thank you, young lady. I see that hand. Last call. One. Come on. One. Father, I thank you for the young lady who will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Stepping into the kingdom. New soul. God, heaven is shouting right now. Lord, heaven is shouting that a princess is coming home. God, we thank you for this church and this body. Thank you for this privilege we have had, God, to be in your house all year long and hear your words. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you have greatness for us. And Father, we repel, God, just being stagnant. We repel, God, Lord, just staying stammered. But Lord, we will move forward in your kingdom and do great things for you in 2016. We will not only start strong, Lord, in 16, but we will end strong in 15. God, we will do your great things and bring you glory in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team's coming around the front of the altar right now. The young lady that raised her hand for salvation, I'd appreciate if you'll meet me right up front. Grab the person next to you. They'll come with you. Grab right next to you. Come right on up front. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, meet me right up front. Come on. This is your place to become a citizen. Right at the altar of God. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is here to minister and to bless and to strengthen you in the Spirit.